Hey, welcome to Retrievolution, exploring every aspect of retriever sports, diving deep on the potential of positive reinforcement training for higher level succeeding. I'm Jennifer Henyon, and I'm with Eve Higgins. This episode is our pilot episode and was recorded in May of 2025. I hope you enjoy.
Awesome. Welcome. Welcome to the first episode of the Retriever Revolution. We're happy you've joined us. So in this episode, we're just going to talk about what our goals are here. We're going to introduce ourselves. We're going to talk a little bit about a training group we had this weekend. And then we're going to share a little bit about a skills, some skills segment that I'm going to ask Jennifer about, and then we'll wrap up. So Jennifer, you had asked me a couple of weeks ago if I wanted to start a podcast, and I am kind of a total newbie with not a whole lot of information to share. So I was kind of surprised you asked me, but very flattered. So can you talk about why you wanted to start this podcast?
Well, for one thing, it was so cool that you and I got to train together for the first time in person, and we clicked so well, I thought. And I just thought, oh my gosh, it would be so fun to have somebody like Eve to have conversations about retriever training because we're both positive trainers. We both are passionate about the sport. And I just thought, man, wouldn't it be cool to have the conversation? And you will have the right questions as somebody just getting into the sport. And I'll have some answers and some experience to share that will hopefully complete the circle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm can be a very good designated question asker, and you can be the wealth of information. I can speak on behalf of the fellow learners.
I love it. And you know what else? Why I thought it would be cool? Not many people get to have conversations about positive training in hunt tests and field trials. So, what a fun gift it might be for people to get to listen to that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping it's going to catch on. I think one of the things I realized in the training group and the field trial we went to was that it's the demographic.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of experienced older people, and the culture has developed to a tight extent.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I'm coming from an agility background where everybody's just completely in love with their dog, and the connections are really strong. And I think a lot of young people want to do sports where their dog is like genetically bred for it. But I think field trials are a little bit of a turnoff because people think that they need to force fetch their dog or put an e-collar on them. And I don't think a lot of people in my generation are interested in doing that. So I'm hoping we can spread the word that it's not necessary.
Exactly. It's just a different approach from the other side of the spectrum, and it can work. So, one of the things I really want to inject into my training and all my discussions about training for field work is to create joy, accuracy, confidence, and kindness for each skill and each training session. So I'm excited that we get to talk about that, Eve.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited. And I remember the one of the first things I learned from you was like how to get your dog a little bit more quiet in the holding blinds. And Bixby was a hot mess. And I was like, there's no way I'm ever gonna be able to get him calm, without using punishment. Like he's just so excited for it and wants to go. But the confidence and accuracy and clarity, he just needed to understand exactly what was expected of him in the holding blinds. And it was like magic. He understood and he's able to contain himself because he knows containing himself buys him the next step. So it really does work. I can vouch for it.
Exactly. That's such a good example. People usually don't think of waiting your turn as a skill set, but if you break it down into parts, it's so much clearer for the dog and they understand that A plus B will lead to C. So that's a good example.
Yeah, it's fun to train like the the behind the scenes, less sexy stuff too, in my opinion.
Right.
Cool. So let's see, with that, we can kind of get into our history and introduce each other. So, Jennifer, do you want to talk about how you got into the sport and your current dogs and goals for them?
Yeah, I got into the sport because I wanted to fulfill my dog's purpose in life. I had a golden retriever, and I decided I wanted to take dog ownership to the next level and be like, you know what? I was watching agility on TV, and that part where they finish the course and the dog jumps up into the owner's arms and they're just like,
Yes, I love that. It's so heartwarming.
that got me like in the heart. I would cry almost every single time I
Well,
saw that,
Jennifer.
like tear up. I'd be like, I want that. So I thought, well, I love golden retrievers, so I'm definitely getting a golden. I want to fulfill my dog's purpose. So how can I get that feeling of the jumping in victory with my dog? And so field sports was the path. Right. So that's the road I went down.
Yeah,
I
I
love
think you
it.
have that joy. I see, like, when Harry brings back a bird, you have this little thing you do where you like bring the bird and he catches it in the air. It's like your signature, and it's adorable.
It's so funny that just evolved on its own. And it has become our habit for sure. But it's, yeah. So, Harry, I've been doing this for approximately 15 years. And Harry is my current dog. He's 2 years old. He's a little pocket rocket, and we are having the goal of getting some ribbons this year in the qualifying stake at field trials.
That's
So,
exciting.
yeah, I'm hoping we can get there by this fall. It'll be a challenge, but that's why I think Eve and I click so well, because we're not afraid of a challenge and we think big.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like I think we both jump in with both feet. We don't wait until everything's perfect and polished necessarily, which I guess objectively is like the correct way to train, or what I've been taught is like the most correct way is to overtrain. And like once you get to the competition, it should be easy and break it down into each step. But I'm a bit of a lumper. I think Bixby likes the challenge. It's been working out for me.
And as long as you're capable of handling the challenge of lumping, or not, and it's really not lumping, it's more diving in to see what happens and handling whatever happens with positivity and, accuracy in the moment. So, but I always say, you can't really learn unless you jump in and experience it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
So.
kind of like starting this podcast. Just kind of got to go and do it.
Exactly. So, Eve, what about you? What are your goals with Bixby? How did you get into the sport?
Let's see. So I came from agility with Juno. She's my second dog, but first sport dog. I kind of wanted a dog that was a little bit easier to exist in the world. So I got a golden retriever. And I ended up with kind of a high caliber, fancy field line dog. And so I figured it was kind of my duty to fulfill him. And I know he's good at field stuff, and it comes naturally to him. And I'm a competitive person, so I'd like to go as far as he wants to go. But in the meantime, he has a started title in UKC, and this weekend we're gonna try for a first pass at his season title. And he's also signed up for Derby in July. He's gonna be like just under the cutoff for 2 years old, so we're trying to get that in while we can.
That's so exciting. I
Yeah.
wanted to ask you too. So you signed up for the seasoned test.
Yeah.
Is it this weekend? Wow. Okay. And then, so I've never done HRC.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just ask you really quick about it. So What is the season test going to look like?
So it has a blind, either land or water. And then for the land series, it's a walk up, which is where your dog is walking in heel. A bird comes out of the sky, you shoot it with your fake gun, and the dog has to sit and show control and steadiness. And then you send it and it brings it back. And then there's a land double, a water double. And I think that's it. I might be forgetting something else, but
Do you have to honor?
no, there's no honoring. That's the only for the highest level in HRC.
Well, that'll I it's you know, having seen you and Bixby in the field, I think you guys are gonna have a great chance at that.
Yeah, thank you. We'll see it. I
That's
think the blind is the one I'm the most concerned about.
I was so impressed with your cold blind at our group training last weekend. Bixby sat on a dime, took casts, and it was a totally cold blind. So,
Yeah, I don't know the distances on them, so we'll see. He can do a short blind pretty reliably, but naturally, the farther away it is, the harder it gets.
yeah,
Yeah.
you'll have your casting and muscle sitting as your tools to get there. So,
Yeah, we'll get it. I'm not sure it'll be pretty, but I think they kind of don't care. It's a just pass fail.
oh, yeah, right. That's
Yeah.
exciting. I'll
There's
be.
only six dogs entered. I'm surprised.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it'll probably be pretty quick.
Do you have to travel very far?
Yeah, it's only 5 hours.
Oh, okay.
But we pass a hot springs on the way, so I'm not mad about it.
I feel like that's the other thing you and I really have in common is we love to be outdoors and
Yes.
just in nature. So,
Yeah, that's like the whole point, and that's what I love about it, about this sport, is we get to hang out with our dogs in nature. Those are all of my favorite things.
I know exactly.
Yeah. I also have a fantasy of doing actual hunting with him. I keep asking everybody I meet at hunt tests and field trials, do you hunt? Do you hunt? Can I go hunting with you? So I had a few people say that I can, but I haven't really followed up and pestered them about it.
Yeah, I felt the same way when I first started the sport because it would be so exciting to see your dog in actual nature, like
Yeah.
retrieving. And so I did. I tried it several times, pheasant hunting and duck hunting. I really liked pheasant hunting because you don't have to go at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Is that the one where you're like kind of walking around and quartering?
You're walking around and quartering, and your dog is active the whole time.
Yeah, that sounds a lot more fun than sitting in a holding blind waiting.
Yeah, but it's really hard to shoot a pheasant. So there's
Oh.
a lot of misses, and the dog's like, really? But
Oh, that's another thing with the hunt test is at the lower level, you don't have to shoot the gun. There's somebody next to you shooting it. And this is the first time I'll actually have to handle the gun. So
oh,
it'll be,
really?
yeah, it'll be a bit more of a team sport this time because I'll have to make sure it's safe and I don't get like a violation or anything.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
Yeah.
you only that's only in HRC. You don't have to do that in AKC with a real gun. It's a fake gun in AKC, but well,
Okay.
that'll be interesting.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I don't think I've ever shot a gun like this.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I am so looking forward to your report.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see how it goes.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna have fun no matter what.
So, I wanted to talk with you about your impressions of our group training that we had last weekend. So, we
Yeah.
had it was amazing to have seven of us, all positive trainers, deciding to get together at an amazing private ranch that was designed for retriever sports and just get to hang out for 2 whole days, being creative together, watching each other perform. So what were some of your takeaways from that?
I think the biggest thing I left it just feeling so excited and like happy. Bixby was, I had to pull over to make sure he wasn't dead. He was so tired after that. He was like barely breathing. So that's like my barometer of how successful it was. He was very happy. And that's the whole point. So that was really fun. I think one of my favorite things was like the social time and being able to talk with all the other trainers to find out what they were working on, what their challenges were, and like what their suggestions would be for what we're working on. I like that we were all kind of different levels and coming from different, almost everybody there had other sports that they do. They weren't just doing like hunt tests or field trials. They're doing obedience, tracking, nose work, agility. So it kind of felt more like an agility trial almost than our other field training day with the old guys who just do field training.
Yeah, and that was one of my goals with this too. When I started Field Puppy Nation 10 years ago, was my dream was all of these positive trainers are going to come together, and we're going to have that feeling like people would have at an agility trial or some other sport where everybody's prioritizing joy, you
Totally.
know?
That's such a good way to put it. Yeah, I think everybody there, you could just feel how much they love their dog and how much like they were there to build connection with their dog and understanding and not to, get the highest title at
Right.
all. Yeah.
And I guess one of my biggest takeaways was how fun it was to be creative in problem solving. So everybody there, including me, had a challenge to overcome or figure out. And the ability for us to just talk to each other with the same ideas using the principles of positive reinforcement training to
Yeah.
create solutions. That was so fun and so rewarding.
Yeah,
I
I agree. I
wasn't.
like when you like opened it up. Like I think Shireen was talking about how one of her dogs, when they go for the double, they get the first bumper or retrieve object and then go to the second one. And you're like, all right, group, how would you solve this? And we all got to like chime in with some ideas and talk about it.
Yeah. So rich of an
Yeah, there are
experience.
so many different levels. So I think each day we started with a mock senior hunt test, and everybody did it at whatever level they were capable of. So, you and me, top of the class, we just did the whole thing as it was set up. But then the people who were a little bit starting out newer in their journeys, they would do like two singles, or like go and plant the blind with the dog and send them. So it was fun seeing like where everybody was at and getting different ideas. And I think everybody walked away with something that they needed to work on.
Oh,
That's
yeah, definitely. Yeah, one of the reasons I wanted to set up senior hunt tests, even though most of the people were junior level, was to give them that view of the future and be able to rehearse things like a blind retrieve on the level that they could do it. Like maybe it's a walk around blind or a pre-planted with your dog blind. And then to get to experience the honor, which you have to do at a senior, but your dog's on leash, you can have a reward sequence with it. And some of the feedback I got from people were that it was really an eye-opener to see the future and like practice on the level that they could and realize what the path is.
Yeah, I think seeing what the next step is so valuable for that. I think a lot of people kind of get stuck like, oh, I don't have the retrieve to hand, so I can't move to the next, I can't start training the next thing. But you totally can. Like, I think once you start training the higher level stuff, sometimes the stuff you've been neglecting at the lower levels, it'll just come automatically.
Bubble
Sometimes,
up to the surface.
yeah, latent learning is a real thing. It's a
Yeah,
rated.
exactly. Well, do we want to talk a little bit about what each of us individually have been working on or winning at recently?
Yes, I just remembered one more thing I wanted to say about the training group. Yeah, and that's that I feel really lucky that I've come into this sport, and it's basically like on a silver platter, here's how to train in a positive way, and here's a training group somewhat local to you that you can go to. That is such a rare opportunity that I don't think has been available for, even is still not available. A lot of my friends are jealous.
It's
So.
so cool that you see that that is something to be grateful for, too, because it's
Yeah.
new. And
Yeah. Have you
it's,
always been a positive reinforcement trainer, or did you cross over at some point?
yeah, I always have. In the beginning, when I got Bucky, who was my first hunt test dog, and I was saying I wanted to level up in my dog ownership.
Yeah.
At that time, I really didn't know how to do positive training, but I was good at having a positive relationship. So I did have to evolve and learn. And boy, did I ever like take that on. I traveled to see anybody who I thought was remotely positive for field work. Like I put Bucky and I on a plane. We flew
Wow.
to Tennessee to be with Robert Milner for a week because he was the only guy I could find that did
Wow.
training. He introduced me to Susan Garrett's work.
Yeah, I see that show up a lot in the Field Puppy Nation.
Yeah, so I went full on into her program because it's so applicable to the skill set. And then I really wanted to dial up my clicker train, like the science part. So I went to Karen Pryor Academy and I did that whole certification program, a 6-month intensive. So yeah, I went full in and
Yeah,
it
that's
out
crazy
on.
that I hear a lot of people say when they first got into dog training that it wasn't even an option or like a thought in their mind that there was like a positive reinforcement side. Like dog training was just correcting your dog and like making them do what you want. So it wasn't even in the collective consciousness to consider that there was another way. So it's cool that you knew there was another way, even if you did have to pioneer it and make your own way. You've done.
Yeah. Ah, thanks, Eve.
Yeah.
So, what have you had a cool win with skill-wise lately?
Yeah. So I think the biggest one I've been just beaming to you about it is his retrieved a hand. The first time I ever trained with you, Bixby was kind of re reluctant to come all the way back. He would run very quickly up until about a 5 feet bubble from me. And then there was a lot of conflict, and I would be kind of clapping my hands, come on back, all the way back, let's go. And then I would reach for the duck, and he would pull his head away and not really want to give it to me. And then you said to, just train a more clear retrieved a hand, and I did in like 2 sessions. And now it has just changed everything about all of our training. Like he understands how to complete the sequence, the cycle and make another rep happen. And it's like his drive has gone through the roof because of it. Like we step outside and he knows training is on the table and he's like crazy eyes, big pupils shaking, like, let's do the thing. And before I was like, I guess he doesn't really like retrieving, or I guess he doesn't really like this game that much. And just within about a week, it's changed everything.
That's so wild. And it speaks to your training ability too, and Bixby's ability to learn that you
Yeah.
just got it in a couple sessions. But what do you think was the magic pill there?
I think it's that clarity that you were talking about. Like the accuracy of target my hand, not just.
Target your hand. Yeah.
not just bring it back around in my general direction. Yeah, I thought he was like maybe possessive or resource guarding, so I like didn't try, I didn't push it too much. I didn't want to ask him for it if he didn't want to give it up. But I think it really was that understanding of putting it in my hand gets you another rep, and he wants another rep. So he learned it pretty quick. He was motivated.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What about you? What are you working on?
Well, it's warm now. I've really been leveling up my water honesty training with, and like you, I'm kind of a let's see if this will work.
Oh.
So I set up some amazing watermarks at my friend's ranch where there was a mate like a big choice for him to make. So the watermark had two bodies of water and it was a long mark. There was a lot of land between the first body of water and the second body of water. I set up my remote launcher. So Harry, it was easy for him to go into the first piece of water, but then he had to run on land and then choose to get into this very small round pond and slice through it to get the mark. I didn't even have to say anything. I didn't have to whistle, sit, and cast. He just made the choice. And it really confirmed again to me. I'm always kind of in a state of disbelief that this works at that level.
Yeah,
But
I agree.
yeah, it just confirmed to me that the water honesty protocol that I follow translates to like that level of conditioning where they want to make that choice, even though it's faster to run around. So that
Yeah.
was a huge victory for me.
Yeah, I think I don't know if it was the same training setup, but there's a video you posted recently where you're like a million yards away. You're like a speck in the distance, and Henry is, sorry, Harry is sending to the water like a little missile, super straight, and just goes right on through. I'm just like, how does that? Because we talked about that this weekend on how to train water honesty and building value for the water and shaping it. And it's just amazing that it can hold up on such a high level. And
Yeah.
it's so easy.
Yeah. It doesn't require a
You're
bunch of
training a
frustration.
course, right?
Huh?
You're training at Fenzi Dog Sports Academy. You're training a course on water honesty, right?
That's right. Yeah. Starting June 1st, it'll be a 6-week course where I take people through the protocol. And yeah.
Yeah, that'll be super valuable. I signed up for the workshop version of it and I completely forgot about it. So I
Oh,
think it's in
really?
my library, but you showed me how to do it. So I
Yeah.
don't think I need to do it anymore.
Isn't it cool that we get to train together in person?
It's so lucky. I need that motivation and accountability.
When you're in person too, it's the creativity of the moment and is so fun.
Yeah, it is. And the motivation of like, you want to do well in front of your peers. And so you do the homework and you come back next time. You don't want to be last in the class.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we should talk about water honesty maybe in another episode and talk about a little bit more about how to train that, because I think it's simpler than people think and really effective.
Yeah, and one of the cool things about this podcast, you guys, is we're going to do a skill segment in each one. So, yeah, let's make water honesty one of those topics.
Yeah, I'll add that to our ideas vault.
Yeah.
So for the first one, we just wanted to start with an easy one and talk about the hold. So kind of the structure of the skills segment is Jennifer is the master and she's the wealth of information, and I'm the newbie asking questions about it. So I think she asked me to pick a topic for this one, and I think a good one to start is the hold because it's a good beginner one and kind of like water honesty, easier than you'd think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how do you train the hold, Jennifer?
Well, first off, a lot of classes and webinars and positive trainers have put out, including me, have put out a lot of material about training the retrieve and the hold, the duration hold. How many times have you heard that phrase? And so people get very wrapped up in, oh, I have to have a good solid hold. Maybe that's true for obedience. Like if you're in the sport of obedience, I don't even know what the requirement is for that, but it seems like that might be more specific. But with field work and agility and anything else, the fetch sport, what do we really need? And it's a retrieve to hand. So you can build in the hold after you build in the value for targeting your hand. It's such a topic because when you're trying to build a duration hold, there are lots of places in that protocol that if require great timing, great observation of your dog's behavior, and you have to move quickly. So it can get very frustrating, even though it's positive training, can get very frustrating for the trainer and for the dog. And it becomes something that's not fun for either person, the dog being the other person.
Dog
But
people for sure.
what I am moving toward is instead of worrying about the hold, simply build clarity and value for picking up the thing and getting it to my hand. Just like you teach a hand target. Your dog to nose your hand. See, it's the same thing except with the bumper or the bird or the ball or the tug toy. And the process of teaching the hold becomes so much more fun and clear. The dog finds the reward, the dog finds it rewarding to seek out your hand. So, what questions do you want to add to that, Eve, to enrich that discussion?
So did you teach Harry a hold, a formal hold? Did you do like reverse luring or anything like that?
So, I began the process of the hold with him, and frankly, it wasn't going very quickly. Because I think he wasn't enjoying it. Most dogs, Michelle Pouliot created a protocol of positive clicker training for guide dogs for the blind. Guide dogs for the blind, you need a formal pickup, hold, and delivery to hand. It's serious, right? Because you're assisting somebody who needs your help, the dog is.
If they can't see where the object is, the dog really needs to put it in their hand.
Right. And so, anyway, I learned the protocol from her. When she taught the protocol to us clicker trainers, she told us dogs don't like to do this. This is not fun. Even though it's clicks and treats, the dogs get frustrated and they vocalize and they do avoidance things, but you just have to work through it. So I did that and
With Harry.
I started that process with Harry, and then I'm like, you know what? I don't even care about that. He likes to pick things up.
Like your style.
So let's just get what I want, which is pick it up and get it to my hand as quickly as you can to either earn a food reward or another opportunity.
So is there any point in that training progression? So you're training the retrieve to hand, and then do you ever intentionally like draw out the hold? So like withholding your hands and having him hold on to it?
Yeah. So you know how dogs can get obsessed about picking up a ball or chasing a ball or chasing a bumper? Well, you add your hand to that super obsessed drive. So when they pick up the bumper, they can't wait to get it to your hand. That's what the process creates. So when you have that part, then you can start withholding your hand, so to speak. So you can then add new behaviors into the behavior chain, like, okay, you picked it up. Now I'm going to ask you to sit and just wait there until I offer you my hand.
So do
So,
you find that holds up, like when, say, he's gone through his two pieces of water and he's coming back with the bird and he has to come 50 yards up the land? Does he shake off before he retrieves it to your hand, or does he hold on to the bird the whole time?
I think 8 out of 10 times he wants to just get it to me because he knows that's the joy.
Yeah.
It's like that's the piece of the puzzle. So, training in this way where you make them almost obsessed to get the thing to your hand pays off in all those respects. Like you said, they want to return to you after they pick up the thing, even though it's a 300 yard mark. They.
If they drop the object, is there any consequence in your training method?
You mean during the training process?
Yeah, if you're having an issue with the dog dropping the object before bringing it back, how would you go about fixing that?
I would take it back into my laboratory, which is my living room, and then recreate that super drive and make it super rewarding to target my hand, and then go outside and gradually increase distance. What we're doing here, guys, with positive training, it's so important to condition. And we should probably talk about what conditioning is and how it works. But when you have a ball obsessed dog, it's because some conditioning has happened within them that makes them just want it and they can't even help it. And we can create that with a lot of different behaviors.
You think you can get that even with like a lower drive dog? Would you?
Yeah, to a certain extent, to a big enough extent that you can get the performance you want. For sure. I mean, I've experienced that with Reggie, my 8-year-old. So,
Is definitely a chill guy.
yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed about the hold. I kind of, like you, I had been training a formal duration hold with like the reverse lure, and it was not fun. And so we kind of ditched it. We're basically the same person in that regard. And like he was somewhat reliable. Somebody had like kind of scolded me for I hadn't trained a hold back when he was a little younger, and I was training with somebody more traditional, and they gave me like a big talking to about how he was dropping the thing and then bringing it back. And so I was like really determined to train a hold, and I got it to the point where like they would think it was decent. But then after we were training the retrieve to hand, like he does not drop the thing. I let him out and did a blind with him the other day, and then he had been sitting in the car for a while and really had to pee, and he peed for like 2 minutes straight, still holding the dock in, finished his pee, came back in to heel, and then gave me the dock in. I was just like, okay, yeah, this works.
Yeah, and he didn't do that before, right?
No, he would have dropped it and then picked it up and come back.
Yeah. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
It's powerful. I'm very excited to disseminate that information too about making the delivery to hand
Yeah.
focus. But yeah, and once you get that drive to get it to your hand, you can add in the different behaviors like come into heel and sit before I give you my hand. And guess what? That's a duration hold.
And
It's just you're lengthening the time between the
it's
arrival and
exciting for them. I've noticed like the waiting. They're like waiting to give it to you, and they're like excited rather than like, ugh, if I drop it, I get in trouble.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it gets rid of that issue you're talking about with the like traditional formal retrieve.
Yeah, and there is some of that that happens when you're training the targeting to your hand, but
Do you ever get into those kind of fight is a strong word, but those fights with your dog on the line where like, you know, he'll drop it or like not come all the way in, and you're kind of like it's just a little bit of a sticky moment on the line, and you're like, come back, hold the thing. Does that ever happen to you?
when Harry was younger, and we were, because again, I lumped and I took him to a lot of group training and like 10 singles events
Oh my
before
gosh.
he was really ready. Because he was such a gung-ho guy.
Yeah.
So I did, like, he would come in hot from a mark and just drop it and turn around and be like, okay, where's the next one? But I knew I was capable of fixing it without.
Yeah.
Too much of an issue for him or for me. So I didn't
Yeah.
think about it.
I think that's the thing about being a professional trainer is like you know what the issues are, and you're like, is this something that's going to build a bad habit? Like breaking on the line is probably something I wouldn't really want to try to fix later. I wouldn't want to build that habit, but like not bringing it in and holding it, that's not really a fight I want to have if the understanding is not there.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of people too don't understand how much pressure or how much what the dog is feeling when they're encouraging, like, okay, fetch it up, fetch it up, fetch it up, bring it, come on, bring it. How
Yep.
often do you hear that at a group training or junior hunt test? And the dog's like, imagine if somebody was saying that to you. And how you would feel.
Yeah, it's stressful, like raises your heart rate. I see it at agility, and I have to catch myself doing it with Juno because she's sometimes not very motivated. And it's a fine line between like motivating them and keeping the energy up and stressing them out and nagging them. And I think most of the time it's nagging, like they're doing it as well as they can right now, and you yelling at them is not helping.
Right.
Yeah. If you're having an issue, then go train it.
Right. And
Yeah.
don't get deflated. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah. You
Even
can.
if something does ma major does happen, like breaking on the line, there's nothing you can do about it. So, like
Exactly. It's information.
in that moment, yeah, except if you're able to get a recall or have the person pick up their bird, then yeah, do that. But worrying about it and getting stressed out is not going to help. So
Yeah.
just re-gear and say, okay, how can I make it more rewarding to sit steady in that situation
Exactly.
or condition the dog to do that? So,
We did a good study in a stroll this weekend. We could talk about that at some point in a later podcast. I liked a lot of the broken down skill sessions we did this weekend. Those were really valuable.
I know. And it was fun to do.
Yeah. Okay. So I think those are all the questions I have on the hold. I think that makes sense. Just building value for bringing it back and retrieving it to your hand rather than like a formal drawn out hold process. And it's such a relief to hear that. And then you try it and you're like, it actually works. I think
I
you have a
love.
lot of gems like that where you're just like, oh, if you just, you know, tweak this one tiny thing, you have all the foundations, just do this. And then next thing you know, Bixby's holding his dock in for 2 minutes while he pees. It's
It's
magic.
so, I love that you were able to do that so fast. It was amazing. But that's the other neat thing about training in person. Like, we threw several singles for Bixby, and I got to see what he was doing when he was coming back. And
Yeah.
so it was really clear to me that it was just that piece.
Yeah, that was so valuable. And that's
Kudos.
not
Yeah,
there.
kudos to you for doing the work and going, oh yeah, it is that piece. Let me see what I can do with that.
Well, that was a huge positive reinforcement for me. So now, next time you tell me to train something, then I'm like, okay, good. Easy. Let's do it. It's fun.
Sweet.
Cool. So, next week, listeners, come back. You can hear and see how Bixby did on his hunt test. Hopefully, he'll do well. Worst case scenario, we'll have some training information for next time.
Right. And I can't wait to hear what the test was like. And this is your first ever seasoned test, let alone Bixby's first.
One
So,
more thing. There was a diversion I forgot to mention. The diversion bird is also on the test. So
right.
that's
So they
bad.
throw a bird when he's on the way back from, is it a blind or a mark or either one?
It's judge's discretion.
Right. And so they actually throw a bird. It's not just a noise like a gunshot.
Yeah, they throw the bird, come back with the bird you have, and then go get the bird that came out of the sky.
Yeah. Well, I am super excited to hear how that goes and what your takeaways are from that.
Yeah. And then maybe we can talk. I don't want to give anything away, but there's a new sport that you invented. So come back and hear about that.
Yes. The retriever revolution has begun, everyone.
It's here. Awesome. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the retriever revolution. Go tell your dog he's perfect, and we will catch you on the next episode.